Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On today's episode, we'll talk about media bias across all platforms and how this bias serves to implicitly reinforce falsehoods. All media is biased. Lying to the media is a political strategy, and in most cases, it's intentional. The basic premise is that it takes more effort to dispel a lie than to tell a lie. There's a resource allocation imbalance. More lying leads to more resources being needed to refute the lie. This would normally be bad unless you get paid to sell advertising and fill airtime. If lying helps your bottom line, you might be a media company.
The main topic is very straightforward. Every time a politician goes on CNN and says something provably false, CNN spends the next 30 minutes or so talking about the lie. And they do this with experts in the field. They bring in more people to talk about this. They say they're our chief something or other. And the lie creates this controversy. It's something that actually they promote. They want the lie to occur, so they enable it. They bring in individuals who, again, are experts on the lie. And this happens not just on CNN, but all the major platforms, Twitter, Reddit, MSNBC, Fox News, Facebook, New York Times, Washington Post, AP, or your local newspaper. All your friends are talking about it. Any one of the Facebook posts that you're going to see. And so it's very easy to basically tell a lie because there's always going to be a group of people who are willing to believe that lie. And because of that, there is profit motives for all of this. So all of these examples are profit-motivated entities. So all of the people we just talked about. And because they're driven by profit, they will take it in any form. So they want the advertising. They want as many guests they can come on to tell lies or cause a controversy. So the most basic analysis is a scenario we just covered, which is generating controversy, right? It's easy to do. All you're doing is lying. And you just to enable the lying, and you get the fake outrage, you get both sides talking, the talking heads will keep repeating it over and over again. And you saw this primarily during Trump's first, part of his run, his first run in 2018, in which they just constantly covered his lies over and over again, which made it basically a normalization of it. And they got to continue talking about Trump and giving him basically unlimited time forever. Right. And you see this as other examples, right? Fake outrage. You have some guy with a bunch of books on their bookshelf. He's probably a war criminal, or at least, helped pull the trigger on a few people that are dead or a big polluter. But the lie itself is always the focus. The lie is the descriptive, right? It happened, it's observable, and there is never discussion about the normalized consequences or effects about the lie. So what that means is, if the lie keeps talking over and over again, people are going to miss the fact that it was a lie and just hear the repetition of what was being stated. And so it becomes a normal sort of wording that happens over time. And this is really sort of evident right now when you hear things like Trump or one of his surrogates rambling that you can drink bleach or you can use other medicines or not proven. And again, don't drink bleach. Do not take any medicines not prescribed by your doctor. Go talk to somebody. Do not listen to Trump on medical advice, right? Never do that. But the issue is that the media covers it, and they cover the lie and the stupid statements, and it generates controversy. And then what's going on is the echo chamber and the continuous repetition over and over again of the lie. And people are listening to this. It becomes normalized. And because people have heard over and over again that bleach is good from the president, without the actual context of it, they can drink the bleach and they die. And this actually happened. It's an observable outcome. This is exactly what most politicians don't want to do. This is what they want to avoid. Because if you're a politician, you want to stick to lies that are more vague, like I'm a job creator. Or things like, we can stop global warming by just doing these weird neoliberal tricks, like all driving electric vehicles, or right, the pollution's gone away in Flint, or COVID cases aren't rising in Florida, right? Or this vehicle is more safe than others, things like that. So very vague, non-measurable, non-actionable lies.
So the most recent example of the Trump campaign doing this is with their recent attacks on Dr. Fauci. So in the last couple of days, there's been an overt attempt to sort of discredit his entire career. You've seen this in a number of different forms. You have some random economist named Stephen Moore said We are working on a memo that shows how many times Dr. Fauci's been wrong during not just this pandemic, but his entire career. And then you have his economic advisor, Peter Navarro, talking about how Dr. Fauci's been wrong and this, that, and the other thing, and we shouldn't listen to him, and he's a fountain of, you know, knowledge, but he's a fountain of lies, and you turn the spigot on, and he just talks and ruins it for everybody. So you have a politician, Trump, who through his surrogate is delivering a message, and this message is that Dr. Fauci is bad, or however you want to characterize it, and the media reports it as though it were a lie. And the media uses this standard framing or this pattern that we just discussed to present this situation in which Trump is speaking, therefore he must be lying. And the lie is that Dr. Fauci is unqualified. So this framing implies that Trump is lying because Trump always lies. And we've established that Trump always lies because we generate this fake controversy by covering these lies over and over and over with the people with bookshelves and war crimes. So in all likelihood, the rationale for why Dr. Fauci is failing is probably a bad faith effort, but it doesn't really matter. It's a bad faith argument. But that argument is never presented by the media. It's simply stated that Trump says X, and because we're following the pattern, X must be a lie because Trump is speaking. And it's simplified to achieve its desired objective, which is to create controversy.
So you're right. So the objective is to create these falsehoods, and the framework is designed to have this controversy. And that's designed to have more media sales and get people, I guess, engaged and watching TV. And it's similar to when someone says, you know, next on Fox, what happens to your children who are playing at the park? And you wait around and listen to it. Everything is designed to drive sales. It's designed to keep you interested and engaged. But what's missing in all of this discussion and all this framework is, what if Dr. Fauci, or Fauci, I forget, I don't know how to say his name.
Doesn't matter.
He seems like he's incompetent. But what if he is incompetent? So what happens is if he's a career, I guess, individual who has spent his entire life at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, he's been the director since 1984. Think about that. That's 35 years as a director. In which,
like,
the highest position. He has not been challenged. Nothing new has occurred. None of that fun stuff. Right? He has been the director. And now that we have a pandemic, now that you have something out of control, now that COVID-19 is in the United States, I mean, you're not talking about Ebola that was kept in Africa, we're not talking about West Nile, which is kept in the South, we're talking about a full-blown U.S. pandemic in every single state. We now have somebody with the highest death rate in the world. Now, we can say that Trump neutered him or Trump stopped him and all these things that Dr. Fauci couldn't do because Trump was a maniac, all these things, but what if he didn't have a plan, and he's just a moron? What if he sat in this position of power not knowing, or knowing that there was not going to be a pandemic that was going to be at a national scale? There'd be regional and local things he could take care of. But what happens if this doctor was this incompetent because he hasn't done anything for 35 years? Now, would you fire somebody this incompetent? Right? I would. But the question then is, we have anybody else that's able to do this? And the answer is yes, there's lots of people that could probably do this job since he failed at every single thing. He failed at getting PPE out. He failed at getting news conferences out. He failed at telling you what the right thing to do is. He failed at talking about how schools should be open or closed. Should you play sports with a mask on or not? I have no idea. Should you hide behind your attorney general instead of attorney, what's that called, attorney general? Who does the
medical thing? Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr, yeah. Should you hide behind the DOJ? Right. I mean, all this incredible overreach by the federal government. But really, yeah, William Barr. Yeah, yeah.
William Barr, not Anthony. Wait,
yeah, who cares? He's still a piece of shit too. The real issue is that Trump may be telling the truth that Fauci is incompetent, because we all know he is, but it probably isn't the best framing, right? They're doing it for a political hit. They're doing it because they want to reopen the states, doing it out of capitalistic interest. And so the idea that we have the news media who's doing a bunch of fake controversies, that Trump is a liar, means that we often miss important things like, what if the person that was in charge of the COVID rollout was actually incompetent? right? What if someone else could have done a better job? What if we didn't have a bumbling maniac in the White House? Would it have still been this problem? I mean, Trump's brain, you know, for everything is slowly rotting in his head, and we're watching it on TV as he slowly decays into nothingness.
His brain is dying.
His brain is dying in front of us, right? His eyes are glossing over, and he's not able to drink water. But, you know, it
with one hand, he can do it too, though.
With two hands, yeah, he can walk downstairs, and he can shit himself in his diaper while playing tennis. But Trump isn't an idiot, right? He didn't become, this is digression, he didn't become the president, and he didn't become the head of a bunch of debt, and he wasn't able to manipulate a bunch of banks that loan him money. He wasn't able to basically put his name on buildings and have his own TV show by being a bubbling buffoon. He may be a narcissistic, you know, insane man who's at the end of his days, who's the light in the tunnel is getting closer to him. But at one point in time, he was a sharp edged sword cutting through, I guess, ethics, right? I mean, it probably was his idea to bankrupt casinos and stuff because it hid his money, right? But back to this thing. The idea that the media is spending its time convincing you there's always controversy means that you don't actually get the full picture of what's happening, and it actually then muddles what the real picture is. Could Trump be a bumbling buffoon who's a moron and a terrible leader, and Dr. Fauci could also be a bumbling buffoon who is an incompetent doctor? Yes, those two things can be, you know, together in the same atmosphere or the same plane of existence. So with that, it's important that we take note and we understand that the media has something to gain from every single thing it points out to. It is not a nonprofit. It is not doing this because it loves you. It's doing this because it hooks you. Anyways, so the news media spends all its time, and again, I'll just keep reiterating this, tricking you. They're keeping you focused like a bright, like blink, 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 blink. It's like a carnival game you can never win. That's the media. Just keep that in mind. Dr. Fauci is incompetent. Go ahead.
So if you're going to be an unbiased observer of how the U.S.'s pandemic response went, what is your measure of success? Or failure. And I would largely put forth that having the largest death rate of any country on earth, regardless of whatever our population is probably failure. So if you're the individual in charge of the infectious diseases in the country, I mean, that's probably a failure, right? And I mean, like we talked about a little bit earlier, Trump is an idiot, probably neutering Fauci, preventing him from speaking. The coronavirus task force meetings were absolutely insane early on, with people holding, you know, flow charts of like, what are you going to do if you get tested? Well, you're going to get a test. And if you test positive, then you test positive. But if you don't test positive, then you didn't test positive.
That's true. That's a flow chart. It starts from the top, goes to the bottom, and there's two checkboxes, baby.
So yes and no. So if Fauci was, we're going to say, competent, and we don't know one way or another. We're just, you know, random people that are observing things. At some point, don't you have an absolute meltdown during one of these press conferences when Trump suggests that you drink bleach or you don't wear a mask or you take hydrochloroquine or just any of the number of just completely insane things that were uttered, you know, in front of you standing there, you know, with your shit-eating grin, you know, playing doctor on TV every day?
Like, yeah, I haven't practiced in 35 years, and here I am telling you what to do.
But wouldn't that be the measure of competence that one would sort of expect if you were going to be the authority, the leader from a like a medical epidemiological perspective, is to say, when you are confronted with a lie, you call absolute bullshit right then and there, and you don't stand for any of the basically insane garbage posturing that Trump has put forth. You kill it immediately, and if that leads to you getting spectacularly shit canned, you go on every news, you know, show the next day and just talk about this is what we need to do.
Yeah, I really think that's what's missed here is that let's just start with the simple fact that politics is a show, right? It really is. I mean, Fauci should be retired. He's already peaked out. He should not be part of, you know, the federal government really anymore at all. But he is. He exists. And the question is, why did he just retire? Right? It's not like he can't. So he doesn't even have to walk out and discuss. He doesn't have to get fired. He doesn't even have to slam a door. He can be one bad meeting away from retirement and just say, you know what, fuck this. I don't need this anymore. It's not like he saved lives. So we should say that. It's not like him staying helped anything from my point of view. Anybody could have stepped in and did the same exact thing as him, which was say absolute nothing during press conferences, have zero authority on TV, not make the circuit, the round circuit or the round table, what are you going to call that, where your new circuit, where you go to talk shows and this is the authority. I'm the authority. This is what you should do. None of that shit.
Wear a mask. Don't go to school. Social distance. Social distancing. Over and over and over.
Don't play sports. Sorry. Sports are canceled for the summer. Oh, I know you don't like that. Oh, I'm sorry that you've missed on little Timmy's registration. Oh, boo hoo hoo. Right? Who cares? I mean, that's absolute just insane that you can still play sports in some states. Kyle State, I have no idea. I don't keep up on children's sports in states. but back to the lesson at hand here. Again, you know, coming it from a sort of theoretical point of view, it's easy for us to, you know, make jokes and lightheartedness, but this is something serious. I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people being infected every day. 60,000, 59,000, whatever the number is. Disease that was tamped down in a country with like 1.8 billion people, right? We're talking about like the response from a different nation that has, I don't want to say like six times our size. They had less deaths than us. Now we can argue maybe they're lying, fine, but they're not lying that much. They can't lie that much. They could not lie enough to get as many deaths as us. Even if it was three times as much, it still wouldn't be the US's numbers.
The economic effects are measurable at this scale.
At this scale, yes. Yeah. If you're listening to this, you have to work. I'm sorry about that. You're an economic hostage. Let's go back to that real quick. And then, I don't even know how to end this. This is crazy. Because we're talking about basically individuals who are so incompetent they're just killing people, and the news media is complicit in this. I mean, the fake controversy, they're not calling anybody out. They're just sort of going along with the ride. You know, they have these fake fights in which they might get kicked out of the press corps, but then they go and they just hang out with each other afterwards and hopefully get COVID, I guess. COVID party. They have no idea. But I guess all we're getting at in this episode, and it kind of took a wild turn here, is that if we take a look at all the stuff that's happening in the last 4 months, 4.5 months, we have a complicit media who spent its entire time telling you that the president is a moron, which he is, but then also protecting an individual who hasn't shown any competency at all, because one can't be equal to the other one. So they have to have equal and opposite. They had to have this controversy in place, but it blinds you from what's really going on, which is just incompetence at every single level, because that's what it was designed to do.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.